What is up, Level Up Nation? Welcome to episode 137 of the Level Up Podcast, your home for gaming and esports news, brought to you by the Overtime Network. My name is John, and I am joined, as always, by my medically removed Siamese brother, Joey. What's up, dude?
Where the heck did you come up with that intro?
I have no idea. It was literally like an epiphany to me. I was sitting here going like, I need to come up with a creative intro for Joey. I haven't done it in a while. Last episode, we talked about how you hate Taco Bell and you're leading the Area 51 raid. So I figured, you know, I got to spice things up a little bit. So I threw some Siamese twin brotherhood action in there. It's weird. Let's just let it happen.
Wow. Yeah, I definitely did not see that one coming today.
Happy Monday, dude. How was your weekend?
Weekend's been all right. I actually moved this past week, as you can see my beautiful bare wall behind me. Still setting up the studio, but the computer is up and running. We are back to recording, so at least some pluses here and there.
Let's see if he comes back.
Oh, weird. Wow.
Oh, and he's back. So as you were saying, Joey, you just moved into your new home. You're setting up your new studio there. It looks great so far. I love the wall behind you.
Right, yeah. Not, as you guys couldn't hear, I haven't had time to put anything up yet. I'm still kind of moving in, working in the living room, the dining room, the bedroom, all that stuff first, so... The studio is getting built. We have a computer. We're back to recording, but yeah, nothing behind the wall yet, or on the wall behind me.
So hopefully, as Joey puts his studio together, we can get updates on social media, which I kind of need to remind you guys. If you're not doing it already, you should be following the show on social media. That's Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at the Level Up Podcast. That's at the LVLUP Podcast. And if you want to see Joey's updates as he builds his studio from a bare wall, as you can see right here live on Twitter, to something fantastic, hopefully paints his wall green there and we can do some cool like green screen action there. Follow him on Twitter. That's at Courtside King. While you're at it, give me a follow too as well on Twitter. That's at Fiasco. If you're watching here live on Twitch, welcome as always. Those handles are below those beautiful mugshots you're staring at. And if you're listening on the podcast later on down the road, guess what? They're in the show notes for you. So you can just do the little copy and paste thing, put in the app, and boom, we're right there. So I'm pretty sure there's no other Courtside King on Twitter and Fiasco. I spell it weird, so there's definitely no one else there. So simple as that. Nation, we've been gone for a little bit. Joey had to move. I had to celebrate my birthday. So we've been a little busy, but the world of esports keeps going around and around. And Joey, a 16-year-old, won $3 million at the Fortnite World Cup tournament that occurred the other week. That happens to be one of the topics we're talking about this week. What other topics are we hitting on this week on episode 137?
That is a wonderful question, John. As always, we have roster moves and partnerships here and there, but on top of that, we are also talking Gears of War 5 because there was a tech test and one of us got to play it. So we'll be hitting that a bit. Then we'll be talking about Ninja and his move over to Mixer and much, much more.
All right. So I know... We've talked about it offline a little bit, this whole Ninja moving to Mixer thing. I cannot wait till we hit that subject. That's going to be absolutely fantastic. But Joey, that's a lot that we have to cover. I know I'm going to need some assistance, and I'm pretty sure you're a little parched yourself after having to move to a new home. So it's time for that time-honored tradition passed down from generation to generation. Joey, for the 137th time, what is your beverage that's going to aid you through this episode?
That is a hint for my screech.
What what was that?
I tried to do a little low screech. I didn't hurt anyone's ears.
I am literally like shocked at what I just heard. Like that was, I thought like Discord was going out or something.
Okay. Yeah. So I'm drinking a triple Indian pale ale with milk sugar. It's named Screech from the Aslan Brewing Company. 12% alcohol for those interested.
12%. Wow, Courtside's getting tipsy on the show today.
We'll see.
What is, you said milk sugar?
Yeah, milk sugar. I don't 100% know. I'm guessing sugar derived from some sort of milk.
That is weird. Joey.
It tastes amazing. That's all I can say.
Well, I'm glad you're enjoying that. last episode, I had a little bit of a snafu. I did not have a bottle opener for my beer. But one of the big things, too, that happened since that last episode is... My job changed a little bit. My IRL job, if you will, my hours shifted. So I used to go to the gym in the morning. Now it's really difficult unless I want to wake up at like 4:30 a.m. To go to the gym, which is not going to happen. I'm not a morning person. So I've been going in the afternoon. So I actually came from the gym here. Don't worry. I don't stink. Not that you can smell me through Twitch or a podcast anyway. But I feel like it's counterproductive if I have alcohol now. So I actually have a nice glass of water. So yes, Joey, you can make fun of me. I actually have water now because I think it's very counterproductive.
Wow.
To you know, go to the gym, then come here and drink right after working out. It seems like it's kind of, you know, just counterproductive.
Absolutely unacceptable, if you ask me. I think we need to turn that water to wine, at least for an episode or two on this podcast. We can't have a drink of choice segment if you're always going to have water.
Well, look, maybe I'll take a swig of my Jack Honey. I do have that on standby. I don't think that's against TOS. I've done it before, so we'll find out later if the channel gets banned. But, Joey, we have our beverages. I have my water. You have your milk sugar beer. Let's get right into gaming and esports news. Let's go.
Kicking things off, we have Misfits appointing former Fox Networks Group SVP, that's Senior Vice President, Greg Stengel as its Chief Revenue Officer. John, we have a few of these, actually, so we'll just go into the next one as well. Overactive Media, owner of Splice, Toronto Defiant, Mad Lions, EC, also has two new VPs. We have former Bell Vice President Allison Walker coming in and serving as the Senior Vice President of Business. And former Canadian brand director for Nike Golf, Tyler Keenan, coming in as vice president of global partnerships. So a lot of big moves here, particularly from the sports side and the TV network side. We've talked about this a lot before. I think it's a really positive to bring just because they draw so many experiences from outside. They already have relationships in the sports world, and most of those sport relationships are what is buying into esports right now as well. So I see this as two huge positive moves all around.
Yeah, and when you take a look at the Fox Network, you know, when you take a look at Fox as a company in general, you know, they're massive. I mean, they have not just local television stations, not just their movie studio in Hollywood, also, but they also have regional sports networks. You know, they have FS1, they have a ton of sport channels. So having, you know, a senior VP come over from that Fox Network side of things, and again, you know, some people, you know, I don't want to get political or anything like that, but they are separate from the Fox News channel. They are very separate from each other. They do share Fox. That's about it. But other than that, you know, there's a lot that he brings over to Misfits. I mean, it's absolutely massive just from a media perspective on what they can do and develop as an organization. I absolutely love that. And then also, when you see Overactive Media, you know, Splice, Toronto Defiant, Mad Lions, and everything, two new VPs as well. Bell, I believe, if I'm correct, is a telecommunications company. Joey, can you fact check
me on that?
Right. And then, you know, so they've been involved in sports and esports. They constantly sponsor other teams in traditional sports. I believe the Vancouver Whitecaps of the MLS, that's their jersey sponsor. And I believe they're a sponsor of... it's of Toronto. It's on their jersey and everything, too, I believe, already. It's either Toronto or Vancouver. I'm blanking on that. But it's one of the Canadian teams. And, you know, so bringing people that have that background already in esports, bringing them into a larger role, it's always going to be a good thing for esports going forward.
Right. And you hit it on a bit with Fox, but the fact that they have such deep roots in the sporting world, particularly internationally, if you look at how Fox has expanded soccer on an international stage, as far as televised soccer goes, that's huge. You're looking at esports, and the biggest thing they're trying to do right now is continue to expand internationally with the coverage. Fox knows exactly how to do that. Great move for Misfits. On the other side, Nike. If you look at any type of sport that's worldwide, golf is one of the biggest ones out there. In certain poorer countries, third world countries, not as much, but if you look worldwide as a brand, not many sports hit what golf does. Another great move coming in from there. And like you said, Bell's been around for a while. Allison Walker looks like she'll do a great job as well. So I think three great moves all around for esports. My throat is killing me tonight for some reason, by the way. Maybe it's this milk sugar.
I mean, I've never heard of that. I'm actually going to Google that right now because I am dying to know what in the world milk sugar is.
My throat is like, ugh. Okay, while you're Googling that, Rocket League, we have Mind Freak entering the Oceania region, signing Kenny Slom, Ghost, and Lim. So when we looked at the Rocket League World Championship, John, what did we attend that? The World Championship for Season 4?
Season 4 at the MGM National Harbor.
So that was huge. It was a great event. Chiefs, actually, from the Oceania region made a huge run in the tournament. They didn't go on to win at all, but Drippe looked incredible. He was up there for MVP voting. The whole team looked great, and that Oceania region is definitely growing in esports in general. Particularly, their Rocket League scene has grown a lot. Now Mind Freak buying in, I think it's a great time for a smaller esports organization to do that. Got any updates on my milk sugar?
Yes. So it is C12H22O11, which is the chemical breakdown, if you will. It's lactose. It's essentially lactose. It's the chemical that helps break down milk and dairy products is what I'm reading here.
So pretty much what a podcaster should not drink while doing a show.
Perfect. Pretty much. You're essentially digesting lactose in live on stream. And it's kind of weird. I'm not going to lie. I'm a little freaked out by that.
It's coating strange. My throat. I can feel it. But we're going to work our way through because Fortnite Misfits also making moves over there. They have bid farewell to Septic as he explores new opportunities following the Fortnite World Cup. This is something we're seeing over and over throughout the scene. Misfits is the one we have in the news here. But so many players are shifting spots now after the World Cup. There was so much money involved. Players want to find the best opportunity, and organizations want the best players for those opportunities. So this is not even the first. It's going to be one of many roster shifts to happen. We're going to continue to see players move around in preparation for next major Fortnite events. But with Nate Nancer over there, John, I think we're going to have a lot more major events like this World Cup coming up soon.
Yeah, and this World Cup for Fortnite was fantastic. It was, I believe, at Arthur Ashe Stadium. And just whatever they built in the middle of that tennis court, it kind of looked like, I'm blanking on the term for it. The item that you can throw, it automatically builds a fort for you. I think it's like a porta fort.
Yeah, porta fort. Yeah. Yep.
Mm-hmm. It kind of looked like that. It was a massive, like, two-story behemoth. And it looked cool. It had Fortnite paraphernalia all over it. It was well attended. The viewership was incredibly high. The pros loved it. The fans loved it. And, I mean, if you're a pro player, if your organization's not really going to support you, or the organization wants to move up or something like that, we're going to see more of these moves, especially after the World Cup, like you said, Joey. I mean, it's going to be good for both parties in this is what it's really coming down to. I mean, it was so good what Fortnite did here with the World Cup, and like you said, with Nate over there from Overwatch League making that jump over to Epic, it's only going to go up from here. So it's positive for both player and organization here.
Sounds like the milk sugar might begin to you too over
there. God, seriously, my gosh.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think it's huge. And I think one of the biggest parts that came out of this whole Fortnite World Cup, besides a young player winning $3 million, which is absolutely insane to begin with, but the fact that now Fortnite has more legitimacy in the esports scene, it was always there. It always had some great tournaments, or at least great prize pools, but they continued to make goofy changes leading up to tournaments, or they didn't treat organizations the way they should. This Fortnite World Cup, I feel like it at least made strides in the right direction. The prize pool is still as massive as ever, but I feel like organizations were respected a bit more. Players had a bit more respect as well. I feel like they're starting to move in that proper direction that they should be for an esport. And I really think this moves them into the premier tier now. Anything else on Fortnite?
Not right now.
Okay. Let's launch our way to partnerships. Riot Games, Intel, and Microsoft have partnered up to host Teamfight Tactic tournaments at select Microsoft stores as part of their Intel Game Night. I'm excited for this, John. I don't know if I will be participating. I think the first one kicks off on August 9th, this upcoming Saturday. But I do love the fact we're seeing more and more events for auto chess and auto brawler type games, whether it be Teamfight Tactics, Dota Underlords. I think it's Auto Chess Origins is the other one out there by Dragon Nest. The fact that we're seeing more and more of these tournaments pop up, I really think it has a chance of being a legitimate esport. My biggest gripe with it is the RNG involved. It's the same kind of thing as a Fortnite or an Apex Legends, because there's so much RNG involved with the way you play at the map and the pieces you end up collecting in the case of Teamfight Tactics. But at the same point, I think it's going to open up and bring more casual people into esports as well. People that may not enjoy the walking around in video games or the analog stick controls or the keyboard walking, this is something they can easily get into. It has more of a chess approach, a more of a board game feel to it that kind of interacts with itself. So I'm excited to see this continue to grow, because I think it grows esports as a whole as it does.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you're not going to find me at a Microsoft store playing TFT, because the only thing that tilts me more than playing a League of Legends game is TFT. Joey, you've had the honor of listening to me yell and scream as I'm playing a TFT match. I like the idea of it. It drives me up a wall. I scream and I yell all the time because it's like I want to build a team a certain way. I get items. You know, the game leads me on like, oh, hey, cool. You can go Yordle Ninja Comp this go around. Then like after the third round, all of a sudden I get nothing but, you know, Dravens or, you know, Dravens and Blade Masters that don't combo with anything, and I have to sell everything and I'm tilting off the face of the earth, and I somehow manage to go from first place down to eighth place in like three rounds and the first one out. It makes no sense. I don't like TFT. But for those people who do, because auto chess and these kind of games are popping up kind of like how Battle Royale games popped up last year, you know, out of thin air, it's got a huge following. I know a lot of people that love TFT. I still play TFT, even though it tilts me off the face of the planet. And it's good. Can it be an eSport? I think it can. You can make the RNG comparison, I feel like, with Fortnite, but I feel like you have more control in Fortnite over your destiny versus TFT is literally whatever shop you get thrown at you for that round, unless you're willing to spend the gold to constantly reroll to try to find that one freaking Yordle so you can finish your Yordle comp. I don't know. I think Fortnite can get to that epic tier, that, you know, that tier one esport tier, especially after the World Cup. But I feel like TFT, I feel like local events like this is where the bread and butter is going to be at for it.
Right. And there's so many ways to play out TFT. And I haven't really played too many matches with you, John, but I think my suggestion would be the gold income. The biggest thing I see young players make mistakes with in auto chess is spending their gold too early because they didn't get the right role. Allow it to build up the income. It's okay if you drop into eighth for a little while, then you come back toward the end of the game. It's just the income is the biggest piece, in my opinion. There's definitely RNG, but if you have a bigger income, there's ways to buy your way around it. So I think it's good. I think this is really good to bring something different to it. Not only do you get the League of Legends and the Overwatch and the Apex and Fortnite tournaments there, but now you're bringing in something different, something that's going to hit a new audience. And not only that, John, but I don't know if you've seen chat. There's a few people wanting to queue with you to get some of that free low.
Yeah, I mean, seriously, be my guest. If you want to queue up for TFT, if you want to see Fiasco have a complete meltdown playing TFT, please feel free to you know, load in the game with me. And I, you know, when I'm out in 20 minutes and like you're like top tier there, you're, you know, just pay me an RP and you're welcome.
Absolutely love it. The NBA 2K League has partnered with Anheuser-Busch to make Bud Light the league's official beer. John, this comes on the coattails of Washington or Wizards District Gaming actually making a deal with Bud Light. I believe it was the beginning of this season. It may have been last season, but they are the actual official beer of Wizards District Gaming. Now they're taking it to a new level, becoming the official beer of the league. I think this is a good win for both involved. The NBA 2K League doesn't really pull in the biggest viewers, but at the same point, I do feel like the viewers they do pull in, Bud Light is an acceptable sponsor for that, and I think it could benefit both parties, even if it's not to a high level.
Yeah, I mean, I want to see player interviews with players holding bottles of Bud Light with the label perfectly facing the camera, having them talk about how Bud Light aided them to victory for the 2K championship there. So, no, I mean, look, it's happening all over esports. I mean, alcoholic beverages, and I would argue probably sooner rather than later, we're going to see liquor companies as well are going to make their way into esports on a more prevalent scale. Like, we're gonna start seeing them. I mean, there's money there. You're crazy not to do it. Like, we're even seeing Major League Soccer starting to accept liquor companies and hard alcohol companies as sponsors. You know, so a lot of people get a little iffy about it because, you know, most beer is about 5%. Joey's sugar milk over there is at 12, but, you know, when you talk liquor, or was it milk sugar, whatever,
milk sugar, it's all good.
but liquor, you know, I mean, prime example here, the Jack Daniel's honey that I'm holding right here in my hand is 70 proof. It's 35% alcohol by volume. That's almost triple of what Joey's drinking. That's in one shot. So, you know, there's always been some kind of hesitation there. And that's really where you get into that gray area when it comes to alcohol and video games, is you have to realize that, well, yes, there are a lot of people that watch video games in these esport professional leagues that are of age and older. you also have a large viewership that is underage. So you have to be careful, like, where you place those sponsorships. We talked about it before, but that's kind of that gray area that esports is now having to deal with, the fact that they're now becoming a multi-billion dollar industry and they want to keep growing. This is the next step. So kudos to the 2K League for doing that. I feel like that's a good step in the right direction for them. And kudos to WizDG for really leading the way on that.
Right, and chat brings up another good point with gambling as well. But, I mean, if you look at European sports, for example, especially European soccer, English soccer, German soccer, so many of the leagues in Europe allow alcoholic sponsors and gambling sponsors. And there's plenty of kids watching those. I think the biggest issue with esports is that the average age is so much younger than traditional sports currently. But as time continues to go on, we're getting 30-year-olds, 40-year-olds, even some 50-year-olds watching esports at this point. I think as that median and the average, the mean... is it the mean, the average? I am not a big math person, but the mean, the median, whatever the hell the average is, it's continuing to move on up. And I think that's a big thing here, and that's what's coming into this decision. If it continues to move upwards, which it's most likely going to, because we're not giving up esports anytime soon, I think then you start seeing more of these adult things come into it. You're never going to get anything crazy, but I think gambling and alcohol at least get more welcome. Okay, that was good times. I haven't talked about, what is it, algebra in a long time. great time.
What is it, algebra?
Geometry, algebra, calculus, whatevs. Pretty sure it's algebra, though. Gears of War 5, they had a tech test. It was, I think it was last weekend and the weekend before, or maybe 2 weekends ago. Anyway, they had 2 weekends in July where there was a tech test for the versus mode. They allowed us to play 2 game modes. So they did King of the Hill, and they did Escalation in the competitive server. And then their new arcade mode, as well as 2 maps. They had District, and I think it was Training Grounds was the other map. So I ended up playing the first weekend. I couldn't because of the move for the second weekend, but I honestly thought it was really good. Coming from someone who's loved Gears of War campaign and absolutely hated the multiplayer, I think this is going to be their best iteration of the multiplayer yet. I think the fact that they're going to, I think it's 60 frames per second on all console and PC is huge. The crossplay was really clean from what I saw. And I went back to play Gears of War 4 last night and even noticed so many more differences. It almost feels like a console port to PC for Gears of War 4. Gears 5 feels more like it was built from the ground up. Like, you have options where, like, to reload, you can pick more than one slot. In Gears 4, you could only have the R, or you could have a mouse button. Now you got all that customization that normal PC games have. I think that's huge. On top of that, they've really geared it toward esports. The escalation mode has added a lot more factors to it. I think it's going to be really strong, to be honest, and I think the fact that it feels so much cleaner, it feels so much more fluid compared to the way it has in previous generations, I actually think I might play Gears of War 5 multiplayer more than I ever have Gears of War before.
Joey, I need to ask you, so since you were the only one here that tested Gears 5, I need to know, how many people per round did you chainsaw in half? And I'm gonna need an accurate number here. I'm talking like, are we like talking about like 2.83? People per round? Are you a chainsaw master at cutting people in half? Which, if you are, I need new friends. just out of curiosity.
I chainsawed one whole person over the course of the weekend.
One whole person?
Yeah, just one person. Wow, well, now they're two people.
You're a lot less dangerous than I thought you'd be.
It takes too long to rev up the chainsaw, so I went Nasher shotgun a lot of time.
Oh,
I pulled off 3 1v3s. 3 1v3s within 5 seconds of each other. It was beautiful. And I pulled off probably like 20 to 30 1v2s. So I was playing really hot. I think part of that was the fact that I was playing against some console players, and PC has such a huge advantage on that. Not necessarily with the shotgun, but getting shots in with the assault rifle before they move in. I just really like the strategic aspects Gears has added. The escalation mode in general, there are so many more decisions. I'm trying to think of the big ones. Like, you have lives now. So each round you have lives, and depending how you want to spend them, you can build them up into later rounds. There's placement drops, so you can drop weapons throughout the map for each round, or you can lay denials for 3 rounds. It's just, there's so many different aspects to it. It's hard to explain, really, but there's great breakdown videos that the Gears crew has done over at the Coalition. I think it's going to be really good, though, John, and I'm hoping I can get you to get that $1 Xbox Game Pass to play with me, at least for some co-op.
We'll see.
If not, chat will play with me, I'm sure. If they're not too busy feeding on your ELO and TFT. Yeah.
Only if you give them freelo, they'll play with you, apparently.
Hey-o.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I think it's going to be great. I think it'll be fun. On top of that, kicking off or sticking with Gears of War for a little bit longer, Ascendance, the novel, the prequel to Gears of War 5, taking place directly after Gears of War 4, is now out. So for those of you who are lore junkies, I'm actually halfway through it right now. It's really good. I'm very impressed. I've never really read a book that's kind of continued on the lore of a game before. This one's really filling in the gaps pretty well for me, so I enjoy that. The new Horde mode will be shown at for the first time at Gamescom in late August. I believe it'll be on the Inside Xbox episode on 8/19, so check that out if you're interested in Horde. Horde is one of the most popular, if not the most popular, Gears of War multiplayer mode, so check that out as well. And last but not least, if you want gilded weapons and gilded skins, you can do different challenges, which you can find at gearsofwar.com through 9/2, and they will be available day one on Gears of War 5. So I'm pretty hyped about this game. I've always loved the Gears of War campaign. I think it's one of the best campaigns that Xbox has put out. Really, in general, in gaming altogether, I feel like Gears of War puts together a very solid campaign. It really draws at those emotional heartstrings very well, and it's got a great assortment of enemies. So I'm excited for this. I think this game's going to be packed full of stuff, and I think it'll have the best versus mode yet. And I'm excited to try it on PC a little bit more.
Well, apparently I'm dead on the inside because I didn't find the emotional heartstrings tugged at all when I played Gears. So, yeah. Big oof.
Wow. Yeah, not emotional at all.
No.
Hence those TFT losses. Extremely popular streamer Ninja has moved from Amazon's Twitch streaming platform to Microsoft's Mixer exclusively. This is freaking ginormous. Mixer quickly became the number one free downloaded app on Apple's App Store, and Ninja is now close to 700,000 followers within the first week of the transfer. John, I think this is one of the biggest moves we'll see in streaming history, at least at the current moment. As it continues to grow, it'll probably get bigger and bigger. But Ninja in general pulling away probably the top streamer in the world right now to a competitive platform.
Yeah, so I have to ask Joey, what is the bigger surprise here? Ninja going to Mixer for an undisclosed amount of money that I've seen estimates anywhere between $20 and $40 million, or the fact that Twitch unverified his page and turned his page into check out these top streamer pages in less than 24 hours after the announcement. Is it Ninja getting paid to go to Mixer, or is it Twitch doing something in 24 hours?
It's actually C. I'm going to go with Microsoft actually supporting Mixer even more. I thought Microsoft would give up on Mixer, to be honest. I feel like they drop so many huge features that Twitch has already brought on. The lower latency, the co-streaming, all of these features were Mixer exclusive when they first came out. Now they're on all these other platforms. So I thought Microsoft was going to slowly wean down and just let Mixer not necessarily die off, but not really support it to the level they are now. Now throwing out the cash for Ninja shows that they are ready to compete with Amazon, to compete with Twitch on this level. I think it really just shows how much Microsoft is investing not only into games in general, but into the whole gaming esports ecosystem again. So I'm excited with the whole streaming deal. On top of that, though, Twitch did move a little faster on this than they did for your hacked account, though, didn't they?
Yeah, it took 3 months to get my freaking account back, but less than 24 hours to unverify Ninja and throw up other streamers there for you. Which was pretty, you know, impressive on Twitch's part. But at the same time, you know, it makes sense. And, you know, I mean, kudos to Ninja. It was a great business deal on his end. You know, you saw some other, I would probably call mid-lower tier popular streamers kind of complain, calling him a sellout, you know, saying how much money is enough. You know, you have everything already. You know, why do you need even more? Blah, 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 blah. A lot of those streamers were also banned by Twitch multiple times for a lot of infractions and everything like that. So, you know, they're just kind of sucking up to Twitch a little bit now that the top tier, the king, if you will, has moved to Mixer. But I mean, it's good for him. It's great for Mixer. And, you know, it's new for esports. It's kind of new for like the professional streaming industry, if you will, having these exclusive deals like this, purchasing Ninja to stream on your platform. It's what we see on cable television. When you have a show, the show is purchased by a network to be shown exclusively on that network. Very few shows do end up being simulcast, but generally, you know, those are shows, you know, those are incredibly popular shows like Friends or Seinfeld, which I don't find funny at all. You know, I'm gonna throw that in there for all the Seinfeld fans out there. You know, those shows that like ran for like 12 plus years, that have major followings through multiple generations, you know, those shows are going to be on multiple different channels. But like when you take a look like at some like same thing with like Netflix, you know, if you want to watch Stranger Things, you can't go to ABC. You can't go to HBO. You have to go to Netflix. You have to go to Netflix. It's kind of same thing now that we're seeing with streamers having that, you know, exclusive deal. Like here on Twitch, if you're an affiliate, you have to stream on Twitch. It is actually against the TOS for you to stream on any other platform. You know, so like we can't stream here and on YouTube at the exact same time. It's a violation of that. You know, so it makes sense. It makes sense because they want to have people come to their platform. So kudos to Mixer. This is a huge move. Congrats to Microsoft. Again, crushing it. And it kills me as a Sony fanboy. But they haven't really done anything. So kudos for Mixer. Kudos to Ninja. Great deal. What was it? Within 24 hours, he hadn't even streamed yet. And he was over 100,000 subscribers already on Mixer.
Yeah, I think he hit 300,000 before he streamed.
Yeah, it's absurd. Absolutely absurd. But that's the power. That's the power Ninja has when it comes to streaming. It's absolutely fantastic. And sorry, Twitch.
Well, right. And we've seen stuff like this before, just on a different level. So we've seen leagues buy in, whether it be an eSport league exclusive contract like the Overwatch League, for example. Or we look at teams like Misfits has a deal for their players to stream and their content creators to stream exclusively on Caffeine. So it's not something new. It's just the fact that someone this monumental, someone like a Ninja, someone who is Ninja, I mean, that's as big as you get right now. The fact that he has moved over to a different platform, I think, is why we're seeing so many waves. But like Chat brings up, it's great for competition. This is saying, hey, we're not only going to compete on the new features that we keep bringing to our platform, we're going to buy out some of the biggest streamers and move them over as well. I think this is huge. Not only that, John, but it's also going to open up moves for smaller streamers as well, so they can pull in more viewers now that Ninja is not on that platform. Not all 11 million of his followers on Twitch are going to migrate over to Mixer, while on the other side, he's going to bring up some new viewers as well, or new followers on that side. So I think you're going to shift the paradigm a bit. In no way is this going to make Mixer on the level of Twitch, but I think it is going to slowly start shifting that scale back toward even. It won't get there, but at the same point, if they sign more streamers, I think we're seeing more and more of a paradigm shift overall for the streaming world.
Yeah, I'm kind of curious to see what Caffeine will do after this, seeing that there is some kind of way that you can break into the fortress that is Twitch to possibly pull some streamers out too. I know, like, we've talked about Caffeine multiple times here on the show as well, and one of the cool things is that ability, or was it on Mixer? Correct me if I'm wrong here, but I'm pretty sure it was Caffeine, where you can do, like, your own cast while simulcasting, you know, like, League of Legends or something like that. Like, you can act as the shoutcaster or something like that.
Yeah, I think you can do that on all the platforms right now, but I want to say one of them, and it might have been Caffeine, signed an exclusive deal with a certain game or something, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, so I'm kind of curious to see what Caffeine will do next, seeing that there is a way that you can, you know, kind of give a gut punch over there to Twitch, because losing Ninja is massive for Twitch. Huge for Mixer. I think it helps Mixer more than it hurts Twitch, just because Twitch has a lot of those exclusive deals with a lot of the leagues and the eSport leagues out there. Right. So they're still going to get a ton of viewers that way, but when it just comes to your everyday viewership, losing Ninja is going to hurt, but Twitch is still in a really strong position. So,
right. And like I said, I don't think they're going to lose a ton. I think they're going to make it up in smaller streamers, or maybe more people jump in and look at some other Fortnite streamers that are popular. I really don't think they're going to see a huge dip, but I think Mixer is going to see a huge climb from the move more than anything. Moving on, Tespa announces their first ever standalone Varsity Series 4 Overwatch Collegiate. John, this is something we've hit on a lot. We see the high school esports scene growing. We see the collegiate esports scene growing. Now Tespa jumping in, giving another opportunity for that growth with this Overwatch Collegiate. Any university that supports esports as a student activity, I'm really curious what the definition of that is at this point, is invited to apply. Applications close August 19th. By student activity, are we talking official varsity esport? Are we talking club sport? Or a club esport, I guess? Or are we talking just a bunch of friends get together and they have a weekly meeting? Like, what is the definition of student activity here is the big concern for me.
Yeah, and I think that's a valid point. You know, I'd probably, if it was me, the line would have to be dry. It has to be officially recognized by the university. So while it doesn't have to be necessarily recognized as a varsity sport, because essentially when you think of varsity sport, you think, NCAA. Like, it has to be sanctioned by the NCAA and recognized by this governing body. versus like a club organization, as long as it's officially recognized by the university as an official club, then it still gets a piece of that student funding from, you know, whatever X amount you pay towards your tuition that goes towards funding those official clubs. I think that's where that, if I had to assume, again, we have to dive a little bit more into this, I would assume that's where the line is drawn. It it has to be an officially recognized club. Because the whole varsity esports thing is still kind of a gray area while the college scene is still kind of developing a little bit there for esports. So I think that's where the line would be drawn.
Well, I was going to try to sign up our imaginary college here, but I'm having... Oh, here we go. Apply here. Let's see what we have to put in.
OTN University?
It's a Google form.
Uh-oh.
John@john.com.
John@john.com. Please don't spell it like I spell it, please.
Oh, I did. Okay, so... What school are you applying for? What is your first and last name? What is the title of your school? Primary contact, email, Discord handle. Da, 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 da. It never asks what, like, if it's a club or a varsity sport or anything. So I have no idea. So schools, go out there and apply. I'm not going to make John at John University a thing tonight. But go ahead and check those out. Yeah. I might test around a little bit later on. But I think this is great. I think more opportunities for the youth to play at a younger level is going to be great, especially to get that coaching in early, to get that teamwork in early. It never hurts to start early enough. The Game Gym in Potomac, Maryland, we promote it all the time. Josh and the crew over there doing a great job making an esports academy. I love the fact that they're engaging younger players and teaching them positive reinforcement early on, whether it be through the coaching, whether it be through healthy eating, healthy fitness activities. That stuff can never come early enough for kids, even esport kids. I don't care if they're not completely athletic like some sport athletic kids are. I think it's great to bring that balance in of healthy eating, healthy body habits, healthy team communication. All that can never come early enough. So I think this is a really, really good move to continue expanding the scene. Anything else there, John University?
I'm already planning my mascot. Don't worry about it.
Well, we know it won't be a TFT character. Moving on, weekly eSport League updates. Rainbow Six Siege, the Raleigh Major. It is happening August 12th through the 14th with $500,000 on the line. I would love to win, but I suck at Rainbow Six. There's going to be four groups of four participating in this one. And I have those groups for you guys. Once I find them on this page, Group A, Team Empire, Nora Rango, Immortals, and TSM. Group B is going to be G2 Esports, Rogue, Team Secret, and Cyclops. Group C, Evil Geniuses, Looking for Org, Space Station, and Ninjas in Pajamas. And Group D wraps us up with a crazy strong group, FaZe Clan, Fnatic, Dark Zero Esports, and Forza. I like this. I think this is great. Rainbow Six is one of those games that's never really hit top-tier esports, but they're doing all the right things. They have revenue sharing early on in the Siege life. They continue to expand the teams. There's more and more teams coming into the scene in general. The tournaments have been great. The coverage for them has been good. I'm excited for the Raleigh Major. If it was a little closer to where we are here in D.C., I might make our trip down there. Raleigh's a little far for me to travel for Rainbow Six, though.
Raleigh's like a four-hour drive.
It's more than 4 hours.
It's not that far. The Raleigh-Durham area, it's not that far.
Is it
far.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, you know what? You are right. You are right.
I think you're thinking Charlotte, which is like 7 hours or something.
Yeah,
like
Charlotte's
that.
Definitely farther. Yeah. No, that's right. I did go to a Virginia Tech game down there. either way, it's Rainbow Six, and I don't really play it that well, so I don't know if I'm going to travel for this one. But overall, I'm excited. I think there's a lot of good teams represented here, teams throughout the world. We have Oceania represented. We have Europe represented. We have America, North America represented. I think there's a Latin American team in here as well. So I think there's a lot of good representation, and I think this scene's going to continue to grow. So I am excited for this one. Just not excited enough to go to Raleigh. John, on the other side, Overwatch. The World Cup is coming up, and we do know Team USA's roster. Who do we have playing on that roster for this year?
Let's see. I pulled the roster up, and found the tab again. So the 12-man roster featuring two Washington Justice players, but, you know, I'm not biased or anything. Muma Super. Let's see. There's Muma. There is Super as well. Let's see here. This is not a really good list at all. let's see here. Russell Campbell from the LA Valiant, FCT. Let's see here. Space, Corey, Sinatra, KSF Hydration, Sleepy, Moth, Let's see, Ruckus. So a lot of major teams are names on here. You know, there really wasn't that many surprises. I guess, you know, if you have been following the scene, maybe the addition of, you know, Sleepy and Corey might have some people confused. You know, oh, well, on the Justice team, they're like second to last in the entire league, blah, 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 blah. But if you've been watching since, you know, DPS players can now play DPS, Corey has been an absolute freaking insane player on DPS. His Widow is godly. His Hanzo is up there in the levels of deities as well. Absolutely been crushing it. Sleepy, still a solid support player, known for his Ana play. He's been absolutely crushing it, supporting the Justice as well. The Justice, who are now on a 3-game win streak, including a full sweep of the, at the time, 22-1 Vancouver Titans, now 22-2, because they love those twos there in Vancouver. Now 22-2 Vancouver Titans after a clean 4-0 sweep by the Washington Justice. And I hate to tell you this, Vancouver wasn't exactly throwing the towel in. They were definitely trying. So this idea that the Justice just got lucky, yeah, tell it, you know, to Florida Mayhem that got reverse swept by the Justice as well, and the Toronto Defiant that lost to him 3-1 as well earlier in stage four. So they're solid players. You team them up with the likes of Sinatra from San Francisco, who's been an absolute beast from the time he got in there. Even in the GOATS meta, he played incredibly well. So there's really no big surprises here. This is a very strong USA roster. When we compare them with some of the other rosters in the world, especially that South Korea roster, I think this might be one of the best or better showings that the USA Overwatch team will throw out there for the World Cup. I still think South Korea is on a completely different tier than everyone else out there. I do still think South Korea will win for like the 50th year in a row, it feels like. But I do feel like this is a solid USA roster and they could make some noise and potentially get up to that final four spot.
Yeah, they're not going to beat South Korea. It's over and done with. South Korea repeats again. I mean, they're just way, way too strong. I think overall the USA roster is good. I think we made some improvements here and there. Corey being one of those improvements, he looks very good right now, especially on sniper heroes. But overall, even with it being more competitive, I don't think it's competitive enough to take on the likes of South Korea. But I am pretty happy with the roster overall, and I think USA will continue to grow as Overwatch does too. Results, Fortnite World Cup. John, we have a winner for the Fortnite World Cup in all of the different competitions. How did that one end up going?
All right, so the solo win, we'll just go big first. You know, some 16-year-old kid, you know, goes home with like $13 from his local tournament here at the World Cup, $13, $14, maybe $20. No, $3 million. Booga. $3 million. He is 16 years old. I love this story so much. I actually, when this happened, the first article I found when this happened, I sent straight to my parents. I texted them and I said, you know, hey, remember all those times you told me to stop playing video games? $3 million. $3 million. Absolutely freaking insane. He played out of his mind. It wasn't even close. You know, kudos to him. The sad part about it is as soon as he won, his Twitter account got hacked. And it was funny. He got verified almost instantly on Twitter after winning, and then his Twitter account got hacked, but they managed to get it back, so it was really cool. He went on the Jimmy Fallon show after he won also, which was pretty freaking awesome. But, you know, he's making his rounds. He's being a great ambassador for esports. His interviews have been absolutely fantastic. His life completely changed from playing Fortnite, so keep practicing. I'm going to start coaching my nephew who plays Fortnite, even though I don't play Fortnite anymore, but hopefully he can make me some money here. Duo winners, Aqua and Nihrox. Is it Nihrox?
Mm-hmm.
Nihrox. Yep. There we go. Duos. They won for the duo scene as well. The creative winners, 8 teams entered, 1 team emerged victorious. Let's see here. It is not actually loading. Joey, do you have those names by chance?
For the creative winners?
Yeah.
Yep.
Let me refresh.
I have FaZe Scissors and his team. Him, Tyler H, Zand, and Suzu.
There we go. Let's see here. Page is back up. Scroll down. Pro-Am winners. We have Airwalks and RL Grime. winners of the Pro-Am Celebrity Tournament. Their charities will receive $1 million, which is, that's, you know, any money towards charity always helps out a cause. $1 million is massive for these charities, so that's really, really cool that their charities of choice get that as well. Joey, this was an absolutely fantastic tournament for Fortnite. It was really kind of Fortnite's coming out. I feel like a lot of people still had questions with some of the Fortnite tournaments that were put on by Epic, you know, throughout the country. There are a lot of question marks here. You know, people were making fun of the glitches, a lot of the rule changes, you know, 12 hours before a major tournament. There's a lot of question marks. And it's like, can Fortnite really be this next tier one esport? And Joey, just like you said, I feel like this was their coming out moment. The World Cup was absolutely massive for Fortnite, for Epic Games. So I'm curious to see what comes next here for Fortnite after, you know, how do you follow up the Fortnite World Cup?
Right. And we all knew it had potential. It's done extremely well as a game. It's made, I don't even know the total money it's made. It's probably in the billions at the very least at this point. But it's done extremely well as a fun competitive game. It just has not really made it completely as an esport. The prize pools are there. The viewership has been there for certain tournaments. But overall, the praise from the overall esports community has not quite been there. This event, I think, really changes that. They brought in Golden Boy, one of the most popular hosts out there in general for all of TV, esports included. The fact that they're bringing in personalities like him, putting it in such a large venue in New York City, continuing to build up the hype for this game in a competitive way, I think is great. And I really think this moves it into a tier one on my list. I still feel like RNG kind of makes it harder as an esport. I mean, you see that in CCG games already. You see it in Battle Royales. You're now going to see it in Auto Chess when it blows up to an esport. At the same point, they've shown it can be played competitive. They've shown it can be exciting and not everyone's going to hide in a bush or hide in a house. It really can be played out well. And I think if players do that on stage, if viewers are able to see that as a spectator, I think we really see this game continue to grow as an esport and as a game in general. It's already done so well, and I think it's got much, much more money to make in the future. Moving to the NBA 2K League, that final is wrapped up as well. We have the Minnesota Timberwolves Gaming taking home the second championship for Season 2. I actually closed this tab, but I believe it was the Knicks that they played against. Do you have the tab open?
I do have the tab open. So it was actually against the 76ers Gaming, 76ers GC, if you will. It went all five games. It was a best-of-five series. It did go back and forth a little bit. Game 2 was a little lopsided. Well, Game 1 and Game 2 were, was quite lopsided. In Game 1, the T-Wolves Gaming took it 71-36. In Game 2, 76ers GC took it 70-23, which is really absurd. I mean, this one back and forth, every game all the way up to Game 5, where T-Wolves Gaming pulled it out 52-35. They are the second ever champions of the NBA 2K League. Last year was Knicks Gaming, which essentially had a terrible regular season, but punched their ticket through one of the midseason tournaments. They ran the table in season one in the playoffs to win that. T-Wolves Gaming here, a little bit more of a traditional route. They, you know, they qualify for playoffs. They've been playing outstanding all the way through. Going up against the 76ers, GC. These names are too freaking close to the NBA teams, and they can't use their social media to market. It's driving me up a wall. Anywho, 76ers GC put on a great show. Unfortunately, they do fall short in the fifth game in the series there. T-Wolves Gaming, your season two champions for the NBA 2K League.
Right, and great season overall. I think T-Wolves definitely deserved it. I don't remember what tournament it was. It was the ticket or the turn that I was watching the T-Wolves pop off. And I was like, when this team is hot, no one is going to be able to beat them. And they played very hot throughout these playoffs, particularly in this finals matchup. They looked really solid. Yeah, it went to game five, but overall they still pulled it out and they looked great doing it. Bear to Beast, MVP for me. Okay, we had Evo happen this past weekend, John. A lot of action in the fighting game community. Neither one of us is a big fighting game person. We've been to some events. We went to Red Bull Conquest here in D.C. That was a fun event. What did they play? Guilty Gear, Tekken 7 there. Street Fighter was there. So a ton of different fighting game titles. But you and I have never really jumped into that. I feel like you and I playing them against each other would be pretty darn entertaining.
It'd be button mashing. That's all it would be. It would be slamming buttons and moving the stick around. Like, ah!
Like, yeah, I've played some Mortal Kombat here and there in the day, but I've never really played any of these new up-and-coming fighters to the level that a lot of these guys are, especially. But tons of different events happened. We actually had a record-breaking viewership count for Smash Bros. Ultimate. It set the record for the highest peak viewership in Evo history for any game at 279,000. That's giant. Especially for the fighting game community, because it usually feels like pockets for this community. There's a game here and there that pulls in 12,000 viewers, or Smash will pull in, I don't know, 50 to 60,000 viewers. But it's all different games that are pulling in these smaller viewer counts that become a massive sum. The fact that Smash alone pulled in almost 300,000, I think, is great for the fighting game community. Breaking down some of the winners here, Dragon Ball FighterZ. The final match was between Go One and Sonic Fox. Go One takes the win in that one. Sonic Fox falls into second. Mortal Kombat 11, the final match was Sonic Fox against Dragon. John, when you're a fighter and you compete in multiple fighting games, that to me is hella impressive. I mean, yeah, you're only memorizing skill moves and skill sets for a few games here and there and for a few characters. But at the same point, a lot of these games have bans. They can come in and ban your characters out. So you're having to memorize many, many different skill sets and be able to reset them at such a... It's like hundredth of a second moves for some of these fighting games. I think that's incredible to be in the final for two different games.
Yeah, it's massive. And Sonic Fox is a freaking god when it comes to fighters like this. And he's very talented. So it is very impressive watching Sonic Fox perform like he does in these tournaments. I mean, it's insane to think of all the different combinations. Like, I can remember growing up, like, I would print out all the different combinations, you know, for a character. I mean, it's literally like the size of a book. Like, each character has, you know, 50 combinations. You have your easy combinations that are two buttons, and you have like intermediates that are like, you know, four button combinations. And you have like these massive ones that are like eight buttons that you have to all do like within the split second of each other. And it's absurd. And he can, you know, he pulls it off. You know, Sonic Fox is a freaking beast when it comes to these games. And it's really impressive. He can do it in multiple titles.
Absolutely stunning. The chat wanted to know if Fortnite beat Dota's international prize pool. I doubt it did. I would highly doubt it. I'm trying to find. We had like a fun like tracker last year.
Yeah, I just found the tracker again here.
Oh, I have it now.
Let's see.
You ready?
Go for it.
The current prize pool for Dota is at $31,653.99. I mean, that's got to be bigger than Fortnite, I would assume. I would think even with all their competitions together, they're not hitting 30 million. But you can fact check that one while I go through the rest of these fighters. Mortal Kombat 11 with Sonic Fox and Dragon. Sonic Fox did win out in this one after falling in the Dragon Ball Z when he does get his win for Mortal Kombat 11. Soul Calibur 6, we have Yotudo, or... Oh, gosh, some of these names are going to kill me. Blue God and Yotudo. Yotudo ends up winning over Blue God in Soul Calibur 6. Samurai Showdown, we have Infiltration taking the win over Kazunoko. Over to Blaze Blue, Cross Tag Battle. Gosh, there's so many fighting games. Shinku over Kayame. Under Night Inbirth X Late. We have Clear Lamp. Oh, wow, such a simple name. With the win over Oshuhito. Street Fighter V, we have the final match between Bon-Chan and Big Bird. Unfortunately, Big Bird is headed back to Sesame Street in second place because Bon-Chan took the win in this one. Sorry, that gave it to me right there. Tekken 7, we have Arslan Ash versus Nii. Nii did not make it in this one. Arslan Ash takes the win. Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, the one pulling in the record numbers for viewership this time around. MK Leo pulls in the win on those record viewership numbers against Tweak. So overall, I think a really good Evo. I saw a lot of positive feedback. I believe Jacob Wolf was out there, our good friend over there at ESPN, or who I want to believe is a good friend. We spent a good 15, 20 minutes talking to him.
Fake it till you make it. That's all you got to do. He's a friend. We'll just stick with that.
Hey, Jacob's great. He talked to us for a good like 15, 20 minutes, John and I, at the homestand in Atlanta for Overwatch League. Great guy. Really love his news coverage, and he was out there covering Evo, so check out his coverage for that as well. But Evo overall, it sounds like a very positive year. Again, we don't follow the fighting game community all that well, but it is extremely successful, especially in local scenes. Evo is one of the biggest fighting game conferences out there where people can go and compete, and it did extremely well this year, at least from viewership record standpoint. So exciting stuff. Congratulations to all the winners there at Evo. Do you have my prize pool? Are we right?
Yeah, okay. Dota beat it.
Okay, that's what I figured. It probably smashed it, right?
So I couldn't find the Fortnite pool numbers, but I trust chat here. The prize pool for, let's see, Fortnite was 30 million. Mm. So as of right now, according to that Dota 2 tracker, being at 31.6 million is definitely beating
it's a W.
That. And also, just to point, just to put that into perspective right now, at the 89-day mark and 23 hours, this time last year for 2018 for Dota 2, they were at 23.5. They're already at 31.6 at the same point this year. So they are absolutely crushing it. I'm actually shocked to see it be that big of a difference when you compare it to the years prior. It's pretty much on par with, 2018 was on par with 2017. And then there was a big jump from 15 to 17 of roughly about 5 million in there. But this jump from 23 to 31 is absolutely massive for Dota 2. So I'm really kind of curious to see how high this can get. Looking at their projecting chart, it now goes up to $35 million. So I'm going to have to assume they're projecting to break the $35 million mark or get pretty freaking close to it. And there's plenty of time left. There's 110 days in total, and we're at day 89. So there's still plenty of time for that pool to grow to ridiculous amounts.
Right, and it's always fascinating to watch. I feel like a lot of this is the growing Dota scene in Southeast Asia in particular. It's really come up. It just started there recently, it feels like. At least their numbers have continued to climb at record rates over in Southeast Asia. So I have a feeling that's a lot of what's leading to this, on top of the fact that Dota 2 is very competitive with League of Legends. Everyone knows this, and it feels like League beats them out in everything but prize pool. So I feel like, and I might be wrong on this, I feel like everyone who watches esports and plays Dota really buys into these battle passes, not only for the content, but also to kind of stick it to Riot Games and League of Legends a bit as well. They continue to up it every year. So there's something going right over there, Valve and Dota. Overwatch League, we have an ownership change coming into the league. It is rumored that real estate investor Lee Zeebin has agreed to purchase the Houston Outlaws. The Houston Outlaws were part of Optic Gaming, which was bought out by Immortals. Immortals already owns another team in the league. I believe it's the It's the other LA team, Valiant. Yeah, they own the Valiant, and they own now the Houston Outlaws. They have to sell one of those spots. They've already invested so much into the Valiant, they're going to sell the Outlaws here that was owned by Optic. They now have the buyer, Lee Zeebin, here in the real estate market. He's going to buy it for $30 million, going to Immortals for that spot. And Zeebin will also take on the $10 million in debt that the team currently owes the league as well. So a big investment here. I guess it's $40 million overall that he's investing into this with that debt included. So those Overwatch League spots are continuing to be valued higher and higher. I believe the Houston Outlaws bought in the first season, so I want to say their team was probably somewhere in the $10 to $20 million valuation range. Now being valued at $30 million for the spot itself just shows how much this league is continuing to grow.
Yeah, and this is also a little bit of a gamble for him, too, taking on $10 million in debt also. I don't know about you, Joey. I can't take on $10 million in debt, nor can I pay $30 million for that Overwatch League spot. But, you know, overall, a $40 million bill to get involved in Overwatch League, I mean, that's pretty big. Also, considering that come Season 3, we're going to have a ton of homestand weekends. The Washington Justice hosting five. Other cities are going to be hosting anywhere from, two to three to four. You know, the Justice are one of the only teams that have five in total that they're going to be hosting throughout the season. Like, there's going to be money involved in that as well. You know, more expenses they're going to have to put out there to try to see what will come back profit-wise from those events. So it's a big undertaking he's picking up here, picking up that Houston spot. So kind of curious to see how that's going to handle for the Outlaws and Overwatch League going forward.
Right. So looking at Stage 4, we are through the first 2 weeks, John. Just a few highlights from last week in particular. I think we have to hit on some of the upsets. The Washington Justice go five games against the Florida Mayhem, a bottom-of-the-tier team. Then they move all the way over and take out Vancouver, the number one seed, sitting at 22-1, while the Justice were at 4-19 at the time. They swept them 4-0. The Justice absolutely obliterated Vancouver. They couldn't find their way into the 2-2 meta except on their record, which is now 22-2 after accumulating that second loss.
I like that one.
Hey, you know, I got to find my way in there. Florida Mayhem took down the London Spitfire. Another upset there, 3-0 in that one. And I believe there was one more big one. Yes, the final game on Sunday, the Chengdu Hunters also gave New York Excelsior their first 4-0. So in all of Overwatch League, there were two teams that had not been 4-0'd yet. They were the Vancouver Titans and the New York Excelsior. Both of them got whooped with that zero, that goose egg on Sunday night.
Oops.
Smash them. Corey looks so good. Also, I don't know how the heck it did not make the highlight reel, but Corey had a shot through a splinter of a May wall as Hanzo for a headshot yesterday. Did not make the top five in Overwatch League. I have absolutely no idea how some of those other plays beat it out. If someone's cut a highlight of it, you got to check it out because it was a sick, sick freaking shot.
And I just want to point out real quick, I'm going to ignore the first three stages worth of standings. I just want to talk about stage four standings right now. Based upon a one map differential, the Atlanta Reign are currently number one in stage four, 3-0 with a +8 map differential. The Justice are second in stage four, 3-0 with a +7 map differential. The Shock are right behind them at 2-0. They've played one less series and they have a +3 map differential. So the Justice in this new meta, in the 2-2-2 meta, where Corey and Stratus are actually allowed to play DPS, are absolutely popping off. And a lot of people are kind of like, you know, where did this Justice team come from? Well, that's what happens when you have a roster that was built on a balanced meta before GOATs came around, and then GOATs never left, and then, you know, you have a very talented DPS player playing Zarya, which makes absolutely no sense. He's not going to be able to play a tank as well as he can a DPS character, and we're seeing that now. So the 2-2-2 meta, I love it. I think it's a great change. It's incredible to watch. And as a Justice fan, it's incredibly exciting to see this team perform at a level that a lot of us knew on paper they should be able to perform at. So really exciting to hear. And they keep this up. They might be in the Stage 4 playoffs here, Joey.
If there was a Stage 4 playoff, Sean, there is no Stage 4 playoffs.
Oh, no.
And people are pissed. It's just like the Dallas Fuel. They got screwed last year. They had a really hot Stage 4. No Stage 4 playoffs for the Justice here as well. It goes straight into the finals. A lot of people are arguing, hey, it's Season 2, and it looks like this might happen again to another team. So I think come Season 3, we might have a Stage 4 finals.
I totally forgot about that. You just literally crushed every hope and aspiration had for this team in the playoffs.
But they can go 7-0 potentially and end the season on a really hot note.
That's true. And then we have two Swedish tanks coming next year.
Right. And they are going to be Swede. On top of that, League of Legends happened this past week. There was some exciting stuff going on in the LEC and LCS. Rip the Golden Guardians chat. I am sorry about that, but we're going to touch on that in a minute. You did mention, Squirtle in chat mentioned Kroenke, which owns the Gladiators, is going to own Echo Fox's spot as well. The big thing here, and there's a whole lot going on, and that's one reason I didn't have it in the notes today, there's actually a lawsuit going on between former Phoenix One, known as Sentinels, which is also under that umbrella of Kroenke Sports and Entertainment. I don't know the exact details of it, but there's a lawsuit going on in the way that the Echo Fox, I guess the sale of the Echo Fox went down. The way it was discussed between the partners was not the way that Kroenke Sports and Entertainment ended up acting upon it. So now, formerly Phoenix One, Sentinels, the home of Boogba, actually, or Boogha, however you pronounce it again. I know.
Boogha?
Hush, the milk thing is still getting to me, whatever this thing was called. What was this? Milk sugar. Anyway, so there's a lot of drama around it. We don't 100% know what that sale is going to end up look like. It looked like it was going to go to Kroenke for the longest time, but now it's looking like with all these lawsuits happening, will it still go through? Will Riot say, hey, we don't want all this drama coming back to the league? Will we see the rising of Phoenix One as Sentinels? We really don't know at this point, so it's still kind of up in the air. I think the sale goes through, but I think there could be some more drama that comes along with it with the League of Drama. With that being said, there was also drama in the LEC this past week, John. How did it go?
Should we cover the standings in the LEC first, or how's that milk sugar treating you? First off, I want to know that. I think
my throat has gotten better as the night went on. I thought it was not going to last there for a bit. I was losing my voice, but I think we're back.
Okay, cool. So standings, real quick. G2 Esports, they're still in first place, Joey. Your boys can't handle them. 12-2. Second place is a tie for second place. It's Europe. We love ties. 10-4 with Fnatic and Splice. Fourth place, Schalke 04. How funny that is. Team Vitality 7-7 in fifth place. Origin 6-8 in sixth. Rogue 5-9 in seventh place. And we have a three-way tie for the bottom of the barrel. SK Gaming, XL Esports, and Misfits Gaming, all 4-10. Let's see here. XL Esports still being the anti-Fnatic here. Fnatic 10-4. XL Esports 4-10. The complete opposite. How funny is that? They've literally mirrored them as well as Fnatic plays. XL Esports plays as bad. So that's really exciting there. Joey, we're coming up on, I believe, the final week for the LEC this weekend. Are there any matches that kind of stand out to you?
So we actually have 2 weeks to go. One more week after that.
You guys are really far behind.
Yeah, they kicked it off way before the LCS for spring, and now they're way behind the LCS for summer. But, hey, that's how things go. As far as matches to look forward to, I'm not really looking forward to that many, to be completely honest, for this next week.
I have one, if you will.
I think I have two that I would go with overall. I think I would go with pick your day one. Who would you put on day one?
So just because I keep harping on them for being the anti-Fnatic, we're having the battle of Fnatic versus anti-Fnatic. XL Esports versus Fnatic. Joey, after this game, they will still mirror each other. This is fantastic. I need this matchup every week. I need to make sure XL Esports continues to mirror Fnatic. So if Fnatic wins, guess what? XL loses. So again, perfectly mirrored records here. And if XL Esports somehow pulls off the upset, guess what? They still perfectly mirrored because Fnatic lost. It's great. How great is this, Joey?
I mean, as a Fnatic fan, I would love this matchup every week. I don't know if it quite prepares us for Worlds, but hey, it does give us the wins we need to get there. Overall, I think day one, I would have to probably go with probably SK and Vitality. Vitality's still shown a lot of question marks. SK has shown that they have signs of brilliance at times, but they also falter at other times. On day two for Saturday, August 10th, I'm going with FNC and Vitality. Fnatic has shown that they can play extremely hot, but just like the other team that I just mentioned, they've shown that they can play extremely cold as well. The G2 Esports game, they lost this past week, the second day. At the same point, you got to take it with a grain of salt. It's like I was telling a few other people. Yes, they lost, and yes, it looks bad, but had Hilly not get caught out a few times and the team followed up, I think that game looks a lot more even, possibly even more in favor of FNC to win out in that one. So to me, if they get the behind-the-scenes issues going together, they have said that there are a few differing opinions of how they should be playing out the games, particularly Joey Youngbuck's drafting. I'm not a fan. From one Joey to another, he needs to get his drafting game together because I think that's part of the reason they're losing these games. But Vitality has looked stale as well. Again, they've shown that they can play really well, but with Jizuki's hand issues in the past, it doesn't look like they're playing on the cylinders they were last year around Worlds time. So I do expect Fnatic to win, but I think it'll be a good game. Over to the LCS. Looking at the standings, I just exited out of one of my things, but it'll be okay. We'll make it through. The LCS standings, which do not exist anymore because we're in playoffs. Let's just talk about the playoff teams, I guess. Can you get back to standings? Oh, here we are. Navigating a website 101 with Courtside King. First place, we have Team Liquid 14-4 and Cloud9 at 13-6. Both of those teams get your buys. Then in third, we have Counter Logic Gaming at 12-7, TSM at 10-8, making that fourth place spot. Clutch Gaming at fifth, 9-9, Optic Gaming taking that final playoff spot in a play-in match, 10-10. That knocks out our boys Squirtles, Golden Guardians, 8-11. 100 Thieves does not steal their way into playoffs at 8-11. FlyQuest flies south down to the bottom of the table at 5-13. And Echo Fox, just an echo of their former self, at 4-14. Damn, that was pretty good. pretty impressed I came up with that on the fly. The FlyQuest. Quarterfinals, our first week here. We have CLG up against Optic Gaming. CLG, for me, John, comes out very clean in this one. I think Optic has shown that they can fight back. They showed really well in those need-to-win matches. At the same point, I think CLG is just too much for them.
Yeah, I think CLG takes this. I think this is the easiest one to pick here. Granted, this is the matchup that is furthest in distance when it comes to records. CLG looks good. They're a strong team. They look solid. Optic Gaming is kind of hit and miss. I don't see Optic doing well in this at all. I think CLG takes this easily.
And then we have TSM and Clutch Gaming. I don't think Clutch clutches this one. I think TSM goes through. I mean, TSM has shown that they are weak in certain areas. At the same point, Clutch Gaming has shown they are much, much weaker.
My heart says Clutch, but what little emotion I do have is there for Clutch, but my brain says TSM. I think TSM does take this. It's TSM taking it.
Sweet. Well, you guys have NA playoffs to look forward to, and then two more weeks of LEC action before we start getting ready for Worlds, which should be really exciting this year, especially with EU and NA playing on very high levels compared to Eastern League of Legends right now.
I just want to point out real quick, chat did make a very good point, which I did forget about. Clutch beat TSM 3-1 in last season's playoffs. So Clutch, who knows? But, I mean, at the same time, I respect Bjergsen. It's really hard to pick against Bjergsen and TSM. They usually always do show up in the playoffs. So you kind of have to give them the benefit of the doubt, but I would still love for Clutch to prove me wrong on that. I would love for Clutch to pull that 3-1 upset again. That'd be amazing. Well, Nation, that will do it for another episode of the Level Up Podcast. But before you go, head on over to patreon.com/OTN and consider becoming a part of the Overtime Network. In return, you will get access to exclusive content that nobody else in the world can get, unless they are a part of the Overtime Network. If you enjoy listening to the Level Up Podcast, let us know. Leave us a review on iTunes, Google Play, or even shoot us a comment on SoundCloud. Rumor has it, Spotify and Stitcher might be around the corner as well. So if you're a Spotify or Stitcher person, that is coming your way, hopefully sooner rather than later. But we would still love to hear from you. In fact, we love to hear from all of our listeners so much, we have other ways for you to interact with us and this show. Joey, where else can the Level Up Nation go to interact with us?
Level Up Nation, head on over to Instagram, Twitter, and or Facebook and find us at the Level Up Podcast. That is the LVLUP Podcast. In addition to that, you can find us streaming regularly on Twitch, twitch.tv/OTN_live. Level Up goes live around 7:15 p.m. Eastern Time on Monday nights.
All right, make sure you tune in next week as we cover the latest and greatest in gaming and esports news. Do your ears a favor, hit that subscribe button to know when the next episode of the Level Up Podcast is ready for your listening pleasures. We will catch you all next week. Remember, be nice to your fellow gamers online. Joey, are you ready for this part? You sure? Here we go. And as always,
level up.